If you're listening to the Sod Show live on Dublin City FM, keep your eyes open and keep them on the road, especially if you're driving. But if you're fortunate enough to be listening to me now in the podcast format, you've got your headphones in, you're on the bus, you're on your way home, you just managed to get it downloaded before the 5 p.m. mark as you were about to leave work, and you're old enough, cast your way back to 1981 in Ireland. I would have been 5. I would have had a pair of bell-bottom brown cords. Oh, maybe not bell-bottoms. Was it the year of the drain pipes? For those of you fortunate to have been blessed with the dress code that we were handed down. It was an era, a time where Sundays were held, you might say, quite special. It was sitting around the dining room table at 3 o'clock, although friends of mine had theirs at 5 o'clock, the Sunday roast. We all dined together. On Saturdays, my sisters would go shopping with my mom and my nanny, and the boys got to stay at home and help Dad do things. Fix things. Man chores, as they're known today. And I remember the garden that we had growing up. Not really exciting in hindsight. There was a row of blue-white alyssum and lobelia bedding underneath the front window ledge, and what I know now to be a Skimmia japonica, I believe it was the female in the right-hand corner. The street tree of choice of planting was the old cherry, and when the flowers fell, I remember the girls used to put them in jam jars and mix them with water and make perfume. Me and my sisters and brothers used to make muck balls and wrap them in paper and sell them in a pretend shop. I was 5, come on. You know, seriously. But the back garden was a path that ran from one point, the very, very end, to the very, very start of the back door. And it left about a metre to the right-hand side, 2 metres maybe, of no man's land. A part where you didn't even have grass growing. The washing line ran somewhere along there. It was 2 apple trees that were never pruned and just never stopped giving fruit, ever. Heresy in today's botanical world, you might say. But the right-hand side bit was where I first grew radish seeds with my granddad, my pop. And it was also where my dad would go up to the garden centre in the summertime, and he'd get a couple of white polystyrene trays of lettuce, and we'd put them into the ground, and we'd have lettuce almost every single day of the week. Towards the bottom end of that patch, there was a couple of stools of rhubarb that was never split. And just behind that, there was a heap that in today's world is known as composting. Do you know that you can buy books teaching you how to compost? Can you imagine doing Back to the Future, going back to 1981, Ireland, with a book on composting and handing it to anybody's dad? Do you know what our Eurovision song entry was in 1981? Ladies and gentlemen, glad to say we've come a little bit further in time. A little bit, not too far, mind you. Welcome to the Sod Show.
Här ska de nu pyssla med horoskop. Shiba kallar de här tre flickorna sig.
Rushing for the papers every day to find out what the stars have got to say about the fortunes that are on the way. It's crazy.
The Sod Show, it'll grow on you. Join gardener Peter Donegan and not-so-green fingers Brian Green, Fridays, 3 p.m, 103.2 Dublin City FM. The Sod Show, Dublin's garden radio show.
Ooh, I made it to the grapevine, and I'm just about to lose my mind. Honey, honey, yeah.
The Sod Show, brought to you by Green Sacks, the compostable bags for home and garden.
You might be wondering where on God's earth I am going with this and why I am bringing up what is almost 30-something years ago, dragging it back into the still the 21st century. There's something that was nice about 1980s Ireland. There was pictures that I remember in my head that I have on my wall. There was one of my granddad, and he's in a pair of slacks, and he's the shirt and tie on, and he's the Cliff Richard tank top. The blazer had just been taken off, maybe, and left on the back of a chair, and he was cutting the hedge in between him and my aunties with the shears. And I remember my mom having my granddad's shears and my dad's shears, and a fella called around to the house to sharpen them. I don't think I've ever seen that since. I remember talking to Ronnie Delaney, neighbour of mine who looks after the Pitch and Putt Club in Ballybohol. Not a horticulturist, not a grassologist by any means, but just loves what he does. And Ronnie made a very nice point, which was that he used to go out and cut his grass once a week just so he could talk to the neighbours and say, how you doing? And there was also an era where hedges started to get ripped out, hedgerows started to get ripped out from the countryside, and they were replaced with wooden panelling and timber or concrete uprights, and it was lower maintenance, maybe. But this coming September, October, what happens and what is unofficially known as tree and hedge planting season begins. Before we get started on today's show, I did, of course, ask you wonderful people listening to let me know your wonderful green news. And via w.sodshow.com, you did indeed. There is a brilliant event coming up on the 2nd of September. It is the TTT Festival. It has got nothing to do with the Isle of Man. And no stranger to the Sod Show, also a guest, John Connolly of Rollstown Garden Centre, will have the, get this, the Totally Terrific Tomato Festival, credit where it's due, John. They will have a number of experts on tomatoes and plants. They'll be holding a farmer's market. They'll have tomato competitions and tons of prizes. Another friend indeed of the Sod Show is a gentleman by the name of Gareth Austin. And Gareth, after the last outing that we had at Sonarta, Gareth took it upon himself to set up his own garden group up in the wonderful, well, he calls it Dininal, Donegal, to you outside of the country listening via podcast. You can find out more information on Gareth's ramblings and his upcoming events at garethaustin.com. There's also a little event called Bark in the Park. And whilst Heritage Week may be still on the go, you might just be finding it that little bit more difficult to coax the children into what they may claim is boring. Check this out, Sunday the 26th of August 2012, time 3 p.m, Marley Park, Rathfarnham. The Bark in the Park is taking place. There'll be music, raffles, great prizes, awards for the dogs with the best bark. There'll be the Waggiest Tail Award, the Shiniest Coat, and of course there'll be the Happiest Smile. All proceeds from that are heading to the Irish Blue Cross, which is the animal welfare charity. And you can find out more at barkinthepark.ie. Also, good friends, Spirit of Folk Festival coming up in Dunderry House. Go check it out. Other good news, the Sod Show is now available on Stitcher.com. Go for it. Search for the Sod Show. It will prompt you. It will come up. Yeah, there was a lovely email as well in from the gentleman of Repack Recycling. That's repack.ie if you want to go across and check them out. And it was the statistics for what we actually recycled for the year 2011. Get this. 107,750 tons of plastic recycled, a 20.9% increase. How's about that? The list continues on, and again, you can find out more information at repack.ie. Oh, before I go, 2nd of September, first weekend in it, the first Sunday the Peter Donegan weblog Garden Group, as it is officially known. We're back out again. I'll have details of that up on blog.donneganlandscaping.com, and of course the Sideshow microphones should be heading along to cover it. And straight into our first fixed agenda of the show, I suppose we do go, and it is into the hedging. There is something, like I said, that maybe is a little bit ye olde romantic 80s of leaning over the hedge, talking to your neighbour, being seen out the front garden, clipping away, using the shears. Not like I do with the earmuffs on and the big industrial hedge cutters. There's pros and cons to both, and yeah, you know, it's modern technology crossed with, but at least you've got the hedge. I mean, last week at Tullinalli Castle, you would have heard the ducks chirp. Is that the quack, quack, quack in the background? And usually when I do the sod show from my own homestead, you can hear the birds, you can hear the wind, you can hear the leaves rustle. And the ones that I have may not be yours, but there is maybe a point where, when it comes to that fencing in between you and the neighbour, that you turn around to each other and go, maybe we should plant a hedge, maybe just under the dividing line, maybe we shouldn't put that amount of money into bricks and mortar, maybe there's a friendlier way to do it. One solitary tree in the middle of a joined up lawn, maybe that's the way to do it. Maybe you're the residents association that has the extra few bob to spend and wants to put it into something nice to bring that biodiversity, those birds, that sound, that chirping in. First on the list has to be, it's a little bit of a thorny one, so don't be warned off, because I've 9 nice others. Well, maybe not, depending on your school of thought. The berberis, or the barberry as it is commonly known. I always remember the purple leafed barberry. Again, it comes with the thorns, but a lovely yellow flower, nice for the bees, good for the birds. They love it. They have a little bit of protection. They can hide in it. Second on the list, however, is something that is a little bit better, and it's the Forsythia. I'm not too sure if there's a common name for the Forsythia, but I always liked the Linwood Gold, as it is known. Now, it's not sold in the same way that other trees are, as in it's, you know, the bare root kind of style. I'll get to that in a minute, of the hows and the cheapers and the whatnots. But the big thing about the Forsythia is that it flowers bursting yellow on bare stems at the very, very start of the season. So before even the trees come into leaf, you've got this beautiful yellow flower, and it really does make a nice difference. Third on the list, you may not like this one, I personally hate it with a passion, and that is the cypress. You may call them Leylandiae, you can call them what you want. I say put a match to them, set them on fire, and make sure that you incinerate every single variation of it on the planet. I have never known anyone in Dublin to praise the Leyland or the Lawson. There are just things in life that shouldn't be allowed. The Laurel, the Prunus, and the Laurus. The Prunus Laurus Cerasus, they're an evergreen, large, glossy, waxy-leaved plant. Laurel is the common name, but if you go into the botanical, what you get is the Prunus, and what you also get is the Laurus. Yes, very, very different. I'm very popular, I've just got email. The Laurus nobilis, however, if you're in a smaller garden, would be the better one. And it's one that I've planted many times over. It's one that I've also used in my own garden. And that is the bay laurel. Most of you wouldn't see, you would see this in almost the ball round lollipop shapes outside people's doors. It is the same as the herb that you also buy for about 3 or 4 quid in your local supermarket as dried leaves. Yes, you can pick them off, you can lick them, and you can also put them into your pots and cooking. And hence why I tend to like them. I do like the berry that they produce as well, and they also produce a flower. So if you're going to ask me, pick one or the other, it would indeed be the Laurus nobilis, which is the bay laurel hedging. Bamboos, Fargesias and Phyllostachys. Slight bit different, a little bit more modern. The Phyllostachys nigra and the Phyllostachys aurea, which is the black stem bamboo and the golden stem bamboo, are extremely, extremely vigorous. If you're in an 8 metre by 6 metre type sized garden, please do not go out and buy the Phyllostachys variation of the bamboo hedging. You will get the cheaper quote, but it's not worth it. three times the price, maybe twice the price, slower growing, lower growing, lower growth rates per annum. It'll fit tidily into your garden, is the Fargesia. Buy once, buy right, and make sure you know what you're getting. Check it out online. Use the Google machine, my man. Don't be paying me to come along and dig it out for you in 6-7 years' time. It's not really worth it. Number six on the list, the Griselinia literatus. Now we are into good old 1980s Ireland. Do you remember the glossy green hedge kept it between, let's say, waist height and chest height that every single garden had almost in Ireland? There was two types you would have had in Ireland in the 1980s. One was the privet, which is a goldy green leaf oval in shape. It's no bigger than, well, I've shovel hands, but it's about the size of my thumb. And the other was a larger glossy green leaf. It almost looked like the leaf, or about the size of an apple tree kind of a leaf, but dark glossy and shiny. And it used to, the tips of it used to burn in the frost, and it used to equally burn in the sun. If you're going to go for one, you can get the Griselinia literalis. Number seven would be the Ligustrum privet. The greatest expression ever of botanical Latin you will ever hear is describing the variegated golden privet. You want this one? Ligustrum, Ovalifolium, Aurea variegata. How intelligent do I sound? In short, Ligustrum, privet, Ovalifolium, think about it, Ovalifolium, oval-shaped foliage, Aurea, gold, variegata, variegated, variegated, oval-leafed, golden privet. Really simple when you think about it. Number eight, Fagus, Fagus sylvatica. It is the copper beech or the beech hedging. It can, of course, grow into a tree. It can indeed. But it's really cheap to buy, and it's also really quick to plant. Number nine has to be my own personal favourite. It is the Crataegus or the hawthorn. It flowers, it produces a berry. The berries are edible, but you have to spit away the pips. The birds love it. It's shelter, it's hedgerows, it's everything that is. I mean, they're talking online, I think, about having or naming the potato as the national vegetable of Ireland. Well, if you were to rename or name a tree or a hedge or a plant as the national plant of Ireland, it should and could and hopefully only be the Crataegus. Fairied and fabled and well worthwhile. And number 10, you want a little hedge around your vegetable plot, but you really don't want to be, how would you say it, maybe, you know, too much of a wall or a border or a timber. You want something a little bit softer. Box hedging has been used for absolute centuries for doing exactly that. Really slow growth rates per annum. Doesn't grow too tall. Kept really nice and trim. You'd be absolutely fine. Of course, you can use things like lavender. You can use rosemary. Because a hedge, in short, is defined as, noun, one, a fence or boundary formed by closely growing bushes or shrubs. So long as you have plants, shrubs, joined and meeting together, you have what nobody can disagree with you is a hedge. Of course, if you come out to the wilds of Ballybohol, what you will also see is a mixture, a conglomerate of absolutely everything from wild honeysuckles to hawthorn hedges to ash that has been cut down and just trying to grow its way back up through again, all clad in a big bunch of ivy. And of course, in the middle of it, what you will see is some wild roses sprouting out through it in flower.
We both lie silently still in the dead of the night. Although we both lie close together, we feel miles apart inside. Was it something I said or something I did? Did my words not come out right? Though I tried not to hurt you, though I tried. But I guess that's why they say every rose has its thorn. Just like every night has its dawn. Just like every cowboy sings a sad song. Every rose has its thorn. We'll be right back.
song playing on the radio. Yeah, the DJ said love's a game of easy come and easy go. But I wonder, does he know? Has it ever been like this? And I know that you would be here right now if I could have let you know somehow. I guess every rose has its thorn, just like every night has its dawn, just like every cowboy sings a sad, sad song. Every rose has its thorn. Though it's been a while now, I can still feel so much pain, like a knife that cuts you to wound heals. But the sky, that sky remains. Say, instead of making love, we both made a several ways. And now I here found somebody new, and that I never meant that much to you. To hear that tears me up inside, and to see you cuts me like a knife. I guess every rose has its thorn, just like every night has its dawn, just like every cowboy sings a sad, sad song. Every rose has its thorn.
The last thing about the list of plants that I have read out is that whether or not you purchase them will depend on, number one, your budget, and number two, the size of your garden. What you have to bear in mind is that tree and hedge planting season, inverted commas, is called so because the plants are dormant. They are asleep. They are in a nocturnal state, so to speak. And they can be sold in three ways. The first is root ball, so the trees are lifted out of the ground and the root zone is kept intact, like a big huge football stuck to the end of a pencil, and they are transported that way and replanted somewhere else. And when they wake up, they don't know the difference. The second is that you will find that the trees are bare root. They just come literally like a large pencil with some gangly wires hanging out the bottom of it. And again, you plant them, you buy them in bundles and you plant them. And the hedges come in a similar fashion, but they are known as whips. It makes it, I suppose, cheaper to plant. And number two, because they propagate a lot quicker and spend lower amounts of time in the nursery, they're a little bit cheaper to you and me to buy. But if you buy that same plant potted, you may add. So let's say a whip, for example, costs you 50 pence, 1 euro. Just let's go around figures of 1 euro. You buy that potted 6 months later, and it will cost you an extra approximately €2.50, €3 approx. Does that hopefully make sense? Because somebody has to take the pot and the compost and put the two together and make sure the plant's in the middle and it becomes a saleable plant for you to buy. Also, from your perspective, because the plant is dormant, because temperatures are lower, because you don't need to worry about watering, just plant the thing and you ignore it and you walk away. It doesn't matter whether you water or not to an extent, so long as you keep it moist. That should happen naturally. Going down through the list quite quickly, Berberis may fit into, you might say, a large domestic garden. The forsythia will also do the same, but you can also plant those as individuals. The cypress, unless you own a farm, that's the Lawson on the Leyland, I would not bother my barney whatsoever. The prunus, Laurus serrasus, for example, or the Laurus nobilis, they're the laurel hedgings. I would go with the bay laurel as a hedge in a domestic garden, and I have done it many times because the growth per annum, it's quite easy to keep it under control. The prunus, on the other hand, are just that slight bit extra vigorous. Again, I think I've covered that on the Fargesia and the Philostachys. The Grisellinia is absolutely fine, and of course so is the privet. The fagus or the beech hedgings, a bit like the Crataegus, I'm hesitant to kind of recommend maybe that you might do so in a small domestic garden. Hedge planting is something I was hesitant to cover on the Sod Show. You know, a relatively inexpensive way to go out and buy some plants and put them into your garden and encourage the birds in and encourage the bees in, and can be a little bit boring, ladronach, to use the Irish word. To an extent, you might say, gardening aside, there's something a little bit friendlier, neighbourly, happier Irish about having a hedge. And if you're going to go do it, maybe the thing to do is to go for the native Irish. Maybe the thing to do is to skip that list and go for something like the holly. Maybe instead you'd like to plant hazel. Go and do one of those old courses and learn how to make those weaved, woven baskets, and you could put things in them and be like Monty Don. Whatever you do. And however you do it, do let us know how you get on, and do enjoy. Folks, you'll find this show notes, everything else to go with, at www.sodshow.com. You can let us know how you get on this week on Twitter at Sodshow. And of course, you'll find us on facebook.com/The Sodshow. The podcast is available in Stitcher.com, iTunes, and all good record stores. And a huge thanks, as always, to our sponsors, greensax.ie. Without them, this would not be possible. Equally, that goes for you at home, for your feedback midweek, for your words of encouragement, and for your ears. Whatever you do in the great outdoors, take care. Bye for now.